Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
A world-famous missionary told the story of how his very first sermon presentation didn't go well. The little church was filled with his relatives and friends, all anxious that he would do well. He'd spent 3 weeks preparing the sermon, but a short time into its delivery, his mind went blank. The missionary apologetically said that he'd forgotten his sermon and left the pulpit. While returning to his seat, God's Spirit spoke to him. "Haven't I done anything for you? If so, couldn't you tell that?" The trainee preacher went back up and stood in front of the pulpit. He said, "Friends, I see I can't preach, but you know what God has done for my life and how he has changed me. Though I cannot preach, I shall be his witness for the rest of my days." After the service, a young man approached the speaker to ask him how he could get such a change in his life too. Even though the missionary felt he'd failed, God had used that event to draw a listener to himself. This wonderful experience changed the missionary's idea about sermons. Instead of expounding some text forcefully when speaking to others, he sought to tell them what God's grace had done in an unworthy life like his own. One writer said it was a mistake to think that men succeed through success, because much more often they succeed through failure of some kind. Can we learn from our mistakes and failures? Sadly, many people don't and will repeat the mistakes they've made previously or seen others make. This happened in the northern kingdom of Israel. 6 or 7 ungodly kings ruled northern Israel in quick succession, while one godly king named Asa ruled southern Judah for 41 years. Each new king of Israel failed to see why the last king had been deposed and didn't try to rectify the situation so they could do better. Most of these kings were worse than their predecessor in their evil behavior, making God very angry by worshipping idols and doing all kinds of sinful practices.
The days which Jeroboam reigned were 22 years.
Come here by my bedside.
Surely, my husband and lord.
I am about to die.
Nonsense, my lord. You will live many happy years yet.
No. But before I die, I want to remind you of what Abijah the prophet said about my seed after me.
I remember, dear, but pay no attention. It was just the ramblings of an old man.
No, it was true. The crown of Israel shall be taken from my seed. They shall be destroyed until not one remain. And all because of my sins and the sins I caused Israel to commit.
You take too much blame upon yourself, my husband.
No, I am to blame. Nadab, my son, who shall rule as soon as I am gone, is full of evil continually. He shall not prevail, for the wages of sin is death.
Jeroboam. Jeroboam.
And Nadab, Jeroboam's son, reigned in his stead. After only a few months on the throne, his career of evil was brought to an abrupt end through a conspiracy headed by Baasha, one of Nadab's generals. Nadab was slain, with all his kindred. Thus perished the house of Jeroboam, and thus the prophecy of Ahijah was fulfilled. During the next 40 years, Israel was ruled by wicked, evil, unprincipled men: Baasha, Elah, Zimri, and Omri. During the greater part of this time of apostasy in Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah was ruled by a wise and just king named Asa.
General.
Yes, Your Majesty?
I want you and your men to destroy all the altars built to strange gods. Tear down the high places. Break into pieces the images. Cut down all the groves.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Start immediately.
At once, Your Majesty. Long live the king. Long live the king, King Asa.
Scribe, you heard my command at the general.
Indeed I did, Your Majesty, and a glad day it is for Judah.
Well, I want you to prepare a proclamation. Have it posted in every corner of the country. Command the people to cease the worship of false gods, and to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and obey his laws and commandments.
It shall be done with pleasure, Your Majesty.
General, how near is Zerah with his Ethiopian army now?
Almost to the border of our land, Your Majesty.
Have you been able to ascertain his strength?
Fairly closely, yes, sire. He has at least 1,000 men and 300 chariots. Oh, but, Your Majesty, we have nothing to worry about. Have we not built many fenced cities with walls and towers and gates and bars to prevent invasion? Our army is carefully trained and disciplined, and our captains are all mighty men of valor.
Even so, General, this is no time to place our trust in walls and armies or man-made devices. The Lord of hosts, has he not made marvelous deliverances in behalf of Israel of old? He is able now to deliver us from Zerah and his invincible army. Place the army in battle array, for we must do all we can. Then we will ask the Lord to do the rest. O Lord God, the armies of Zerah and of Judah stand face to face, ready to do battle. Zerah's forces far outnumber Judah's, yet I fear not, for my trust, O Lord, is in thee. It is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with few. Help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in thee, and in thy name we march against this multitude. O Lord, thou art God, let not man prevail against thee. Amen.
General, forward into battle.
And the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Aser, and the Ethiopians fled. And Aser and his men pursued them unto Gerar, and overcame and destroyed them, that they could not recover themselves. And Aser reigned in Judah 41 years. 2 years before his death, there came upon the scene in the northern kingdom of Israel a man and a woman destined to be the most famous or infamous king and queen of all Bible history. One was strong-willed, self-disciplined, of positive temperament and determined. The other was weak, vacillating, and of indecision. Both were unprincipled, of low moral standards, selfish, greedy, and completely devoid of reverence and of consideration for the rights of others.
Two years before King Asa of Judah died, King Ahab came to the throne of Israel. He was married to Jezebel, a high priestess in the worship of the sun god Baal. She was very strong-willed and dominated her husband. If possible, Ahab did worse in God's sight than all Israel's previous kings. He built a shrine and altar to Baal and worshipped Baal there. Soon God sent his prophet Elijah to Ahab to speak to him about his sins and failures. To reinforce what the prophet said, God stopped rain falling on the land for 3 long, miserable years. Have you noticed how some people go through agonizing failures or circumstances in their life before they call out to God? When they do, they thrill other believers with the story of God's intervention in their circumstances. Yet God is not glorified by accounts of people's sins. Do we need to stand beside the pig pen and the prodigal son before we come to our senses that we are harming ourselves and our loved ones? Of course we don't. A young man in the 19th century spent 7 years of his life travelling the world. Those years were spent in wasteful, sinful pleasures, bringing him to poverty. In his time of need, the man's thoughts turned to past family experiences when living in another continent. Verses of scripture taught to him by his mother came to mind. The one that impressed him most came from the Bible book of Hebrews, chapter 7. He, that's Jesus, is also able to totally save those who come to God through him. The young man resolved to be saved. Immediately the question came to his mind, is the blood of Christ sufficient to save my soul? He was sure that it was, but then he found his way of trusting blocked by 3 giants. The names were Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. The giant Yesterday pointed out the terrible things the young man had done, that they could never be undone. Giant today reminded the young man of his present wretched condition and what he could lose if he surrendered everything to Christ. Giant tomorrow warned him that if he made a commitment to Christ, he would fail the first temptation that came along. The giant told him that his situation was hopeless and withdrew. The poor man agreed that he himself wasn't able to overcome his past, but Christ was and would willingly help him. The rest of the verse says, since Christ always lives to make intercession for them. The young man gave himself to Christ, and inner peace came. He lived 44 more years after that in faithful and fruitful ministry for the Lord. In his last sermon, the man counseled the young men that listened to him to keep themselves clean from immoral behavior. He said it three times before then falling to the platform floor, dead. No matter how you came to Christ, do you have that joy of sins forgiven? Do you have peace of mind that giants of yesterday, today, and tomorrow can't disturb? Or do your past memories of mistakes and terrible events come back to upset your mind? When the tempter comes to us in this way, we must drive him off with the verse of Scripture in James chapter 4. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In John's Gospel chapter 6, the Lord Jesus says, I will never turn away from anyone who comes to me. This promise can be relied upon in all times of trouble, either in the hour of temptation and trial, or if we've fallen into some kind of sin. Jesus saves completely if we trust him to do so. In every generation, Christ's followers are his witnesses. What does this involve? One preacher explained it this way. It means that Jesus is on trial again before the world and every one of his disciples is called upon as a defense witness. Those who refuse to say a word on his behalf join the prosecution. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel chapter 12, he who is not with me is against me. Some witnesses for Jesus talk about themselves and their achievements instead of talking about Jesus. Others may mumble and apologize and contradict themselves. These witnesses let Jesus down badly. Do we really know Jesus' power, might, and freedom from sin in their lives? As Christ's witnesses, we cancel the power of his cross unless we live in it ourselves and pass it on to others. In 1871, a famous American pastor preached at his church one October Sunday in Chicago. He explained God's plan of salvation for the listeners' souls and sent them home to consider their spiritual state during the week. They were to return the next Sunday prepared to commit their all to God. During that week, the horrific Great Fires of Chicago broke out, and 300 people were burnt to death in the blaze. The pastor realized that he could have made a terrible mistake. How many died without giving their all to Christ? From then on, when the pastor preached and presented the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior from sin, he asked the listeners to make up their minds straight away. Have you given your all to our great Creator God as a living sacrifice to be used in any way he sees fit? If you haven't, you need to search with earnestness for Christ's mercy and deliverance from whatever holds you back. Jesus has made the way possible for you to become part of God's dearly loved family. God's work is to transform you into a gracious, holy person, one fit for heaven. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. If you'd like to receive a free booklet, then write to this station and ask for it, but be sure to print your name and address. Or you can write to John, Post Office Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, John, Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053, and the website bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.